You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 11, Ted. When Buffy's mother is romanced by a computer software salesman named Ted, Buffy's uneasy feelings cause her to launch a background investigation. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Morgan.
Hey, Morgan.
Morgan!
So, Morgan. All right, now we got to be careful not to spoil everybody, but... All right, so 2 years ago when you were 10... Oh, by the way, you're my child. 2 years ago.
Morgan is our first special guest who's actually... an offspring of one of our hosts.
So 2 years ago, you were 10 and we watched Buffy together.
Yes.
Tell everybody about your experience. What do you... Go ahead.
Okay, well, you were watching it and I'm like, this is stupid. Look at that. What is that? And, well... You know, and you just sort of showed me, you know, told me some of the plot lines, and I'm like, wow, that looks good. And so I watched it, and it was good.
Yeah. What was good about it without spoiling anything?
Well, I don't know, just the plot line. I mean, it really didn't get good until Surprise and Innocence.
Okay, so I think that you really enjoyed Buffy because she was an empowered female character, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I'm with the whole feminist thing.
Yeah. So, well, let me ask you: do you think that watching Buffy helped form the way that you thought about female characters in television and in literature? Or do you think that you just gravitated towards Buffy because you more enjoyed the empowered female character?
Well, I guess I just... Well, that and also, you know, the excellent plot line in season 2.
Okay.
I really didn't think there was a plot line in season 1.
Yeah, there really was. Okay. All right, well, let's get started then talking about Tate.
So what'd you guys think of the episode? I didn't like it either.
Yeah,
I didn't care for it at all.
I think the reason that Morgan wanted to come on and talk about Ted was because Ted might be her least favorite episode ever.
I enjoyed Ted.
You did?
Yeah, because it was one of the more unpredictable episodes.
That's for sure. It started off great, but then I'd say around 10 minutes in, it just took a turn for the worse and never got back on track.
For you, what part was it that soured it for you?
Probably the mini golf scene.
Where he goes kind of crazy?
Just a bit, yeah. Because I love John Ritter, and I can tell you that as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh my god, John Ritter, this is great! Oh, and then I think, oh gosh. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that this episode was so bonkers. I can't even think of a better word. It was just really weird.
What about you, Gabby?
I didn't care for it at all the first time I watched it. And because it was the whole John Ritter thing, I'm used to him being a wacky Jack Tripper on the 1970s classic sitcom, Three's Company. And that's what I grew up knowing him as. And to see him be serious and evil at the same time, it really freaked me out. But then the second time I watched it, I loved it because he was so good at being bad and switching up from being like extra syrupy sweet to being just really a awful.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I liked it much better the second time.
Yeah. He's good at everything he does.
Mm-hmm. Was.
Okay, Mom.
did.
It's sad.
It really is.
I really, really felt terrible the day I found out John Ritter died. It was not, like, it was, it really hurt me. Like, you know, I was a little kid watching Three's Company, you know?
But it is. I remember where I was when he died. We were at the beach, Morgan.
That's nice.
For you guys, but not for John Ritter.
Okay, Morgan. Now, Morgan, listen. We're not going to act like Mother is the stupidest person on the earth, okay?
Let me just take a note of when this outtake occurred. Okay. I shall. There we go. 13. Beth is not stupid. Noted. Duly noted,
okay.
Steph.
Okay. All right. So, let's do feedback.
Some feedback?
Yes.
Some TED-specific feedback?
Sure.
Sure.
All right. Now, I think right now we're going to do emails, but we might want to consider in future episodes including stuff from the wonderful, awesome Facebook group.
Yay!
Yeah.
And maybe we could invite people to comment there directly and use comments there. Uh-huh. Or maybe we can do that even now if we want to. So how about I read Ryan Lochler's email on TED?
Do it.
Okay.
So Ryan writes, "Hey Gax Plus One. It's been a while since I've sent in an email, but that doesn't mean that I haven't been listening. I've noticed that your attitudes towards Cordy have been softening as you begin to appreciate her. Anyway, on to Ted. An episode that is far from being in my top 20 episodes of Buffy. Maybe if it had been in season 1, I would have liked it better compared to the other eps that, you know, that season. But in season 2, it's just a, bad egg. After the glorious What's My Line two-parter, the stinker comes. Not to say that there aren't some good moments, but overall, it's a paltry 5 out of 10. My points of revelation. Joyce! I love Joyce. She is my version of the bronze. She raises up my enjoyment of any episode. Willow gets excited over a 9-gig hard drive. I was excited when I got a terabyte. Wow, times have changed. Willow's red pants don't look like they fit very well. Xander knows who Freud is? Giles making puppy eyes at Jenny Calendar. Why can't the woman cut him a break? Angel being a good boyfriend. One of the few mature moments of their relationship. John Ritter is a good actor, but what a terrible role.
Yes.
Malarkey?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Interesting reference to Stepford Wives, especially given Ted's true nature. Ecstasy cookies! Cordy's fashion sense solves the case. Tweed as Kevlar. What a terrible robot storyline. Maybe the next one will be better. Insert cricket sound. The best parts of this were the Xander Cordy interactions and the Giles Jenny progression. Other than that, it should be in the scrap heap. Oh. I'm going to go watch Bad Eggs and send in my notes for that one. I'm looking forward to my episode in season 4. I quote, nice shot, lady. Until next time, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
I totally agree, because I don't think the episode would have been as bad, but because it was right behind the great two-parter, What's My Line, then it just highlights how not awesome it was compared to the other two.
It was a very special episode. It started off as one of those, and then it turned into, meh, he's a robot. Gotcha, well, kids.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Well, it was one of those Monsters of the Week episodes, which we've seen so avidly.
Yeah.
Those could be so much fun, though.
Well, yeah, but...
It can be.
I mean, I'm all for, like, overarching, arcs and stuff, and how there's all kinds of continuity, and we follow these characters and the storylines progress from episode to episode, but at the same time, I mean, there's got to be something else happening.
Well, yeah, true.
You know?
Yeah, those are fun. Like, I've watched an anime where there's like, oh, another Monster of the Week episode. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and also the whole, holy crap, Buffy killed a guy moment was pretty intense. I was not expecting that. That was really intense. And the whole kind of feeling about it was like, oh my God, she's going to go to jail. Her mother's going to disown her. Like, that was really, really, really harsh stuff.
But her mom was totally after
school special. You know?
It was. But Joyce totally stuck up.
Totally. And that's why we love Joyce.
Joyce is great.
That and she's conveniently not observing her daughter. Always.
But what I kind of did like about the episode, because like during that time when it aired, I had a lot of friends that their parents were divorced and maybe one of their parents was either in a new relationship or whatnot. I never had to deal with that because my parents, they're still married. But I thought it was a great, like it was a good timely issue. And I don't know what Buffy went through, but I kind of could see why it would be so appealing to like younger viewers, because they could have been going through the same thing. Although Ted was, he was, to the extreme. But I'm sure a lot of kids could relate to Buffy in that sense. And that I did like that bit of the story.
Yeah, because it's just so natural for a person to, of a child of divorce, to want their parents back together and not want to accept their parents dating anybody else.
Totally.
Yeah. This is the first time that I actually, because my parents were divorced when I was very young, and this is the first time that I actually could relate to Buffy and kind of was like, oh, I know what you're going through, sweetie. I went through the same thing.
You went through the whole thing with a robot and next.
Exactly, with robot. But it does. But it's true. You get to the point where even if you didn't want your parents necessarily to get back together, it's like you're so protective of your mom that you're like, anybody, because I don't know, if part of it's like, well, then you won't really all be there for me all the time, but then again, you're just hyper protective of the one person that is hyper protective of you, basically.
Who wants to read Emily's email?
I'll take a stab at it.
Nice. With a steak.
From Emily. Bad news, Gax. Let me try to explain to you my reaction to Ted. This is such a weird and interestingly flawed piece of fiction. It's really hard to explain my reaction to Ted because my reaction is weird. I love the first half of this episode. It's very somber and very non-Buffy. There is something in the editing here that is just odd and off-putting. I cannot really describe it, but it's downright unsettling. That's right, I think I ate Ted's cookies because I like this episode. It certainly has its flaws. It kind of seems like the writers realized they did not have enough story here, so they added to the Miss Calendar Giles story halfway through.
It's true.
So I will let it go. Ted being a robot was strong on and random and really reserved the consequences of Buffy killing a real man. But it had to be something monster of the week, right? It could have made for a very boring story if she had just killed a normal dude and sat around looking sad for 32 minutes. The writers really nailed Joyce here too. The way she grieves for Ted while she's covering up what Buffy did to the cops, or attempting to, is really cool to see. Okay. I just really like Joyce. Thanks, Emily.
I'd say we concur. I think we all like Joyce.
I like Joyce.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. She's okay. No. She's. I like her as a character.
But if Buffy was found guilty, then wouldn't she be an accessory to murder after the fact?
I think that because of this, in the same instance that Joyce said he fell, Buffy said, I hit him. I don't think. Although I'm not sure how.
But that did seem a little. Sorry, go ahead, Morgan.
That did seem a little. I hit him. He fell. It seems like they're doing it to, like, a big conspiracy murder case.
But at least they made it realistic enough to show you that the cops really were investigating it.
Yeah. They did their point, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they did their point, but that scene with the interrogation was just pointless. I mean, couldn't you have just, cut
But the point was they had to show you that they're going all the, they're going for it. They're showing you what actually
we have
really
10 minutes
happen.
Left in this episode.
But anyway, okay, I'm going to defend Ted. I'm going to tell you why you're all wrong. Okay.
I enjoyed Ted.
I liked it the second time.
Okay. I enjoyed it both times I watched.
Okay, well, this is why. Okay. Ted is a domineering,
condescending, undermining,
misogynist character.
Mm-hmm.
The original Ted, his wife left him and he wanted to control his wife, so he created a robot of himself to go get more wives that look like his to domineer and
control. Mm. But if you can see my notes, all I wrote was, what is going on? Crazy episode. Ted's a jerk. Little lady. And I wrote little lady like 15 times.
Oh, I know.
He said it. And every time he said it, I want to
but
punch
it's a clue.
Him.
It's a clue.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
Yeah, his 1950s sitcom dialogue.
Yeah, so can I mention one of my points?
Please.
Yes.
I fully expected Ted to explain to Buffy when she walked in on them how he wasn't really actually kissing Joyce. You know, because he's gay.
Morgan probably does that.
That was my reflex. That was my instant reflex. That when they turned around and I see Jack Tripper's face after kissing Joyce, looking like, oh no, I'm like, how's he going to explain kissing your girl now? But seriously, that's the reaction I had.
Oh, there's just a wacky misunderstanding. He's a robot.
And he's a cook in both situations.
Yes. But where was the Regal Beagle? I mean the bronze.
Good one. Oh, man. Yeah, he was way too good to be true.
Yeah. But how weird was it? And did anyone else scream when he slapped Buffy? Because I was like,
I was not expecting it at all.
Yeah.
That was one of those moments. I'm like, oh my God, this is such a good episode.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I mean, listen, the whole, ignore the whole explanation of why he came back. Okay. But everything that's going on between Buffy and Ted is like, I would assume, I mean, my parents never separated, but I would assume that if my mom was a single mom and I was living with her and there was a new guy in her life, what happens between Ted and Buffy would have been my worst nightmare ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he's super awesome. Everybody loves him. My friends love him. And he's treating me like crap and I can't explain it. And he's explaining it away to my mom and my mom believes him. And oh my, he's going to beat me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the ultimate fantasy would have been to just get rid of him. And she did. She killed him. Do you know what I mean? It was like one of those, well, what would happen if? And it was very intense. It was very intense.
I thought it was okay up until he came back. Then I was like, this has just gone too far.
Mm.
And his crappy explanation, I just couldn't go into the lard.
Yeah.
But Cordelia says something about, well, shouldn't there be different rules for Buffy or something because Buffy killed a human or she thinks she did. But
in a fascist society.
But the Slayer is held to different standards. The Slayer has different responsibilities. And the Slayer is not like everybody else. She's supposed to protect people.
Mm-hmm. Which plays into Xander's reaction. Okay, so what was he? Right? Because he just naturally assumed that he was like a demon or a vampire or something else, right?
Yeah.
And then it was like, what, you just killed a guy? You know? It was really, I really thought, I don't know why people hate it so much. Like, I understand that it's... I understand
it's
the whole robot thing is weird, but, like, I really, really, really like this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Really liked it?
I really liked it.
I really liked Ted.
I really felt the conflict was extraordinarily realistic. I mean, I know the robot thing is not realistic, but the whole, her world is changing.
Yeah, I just thought it was it was an over-exaggeration to the point where it became ridiculous. Mm. But on paper, it sounds good. But when I'm watching it, I'm like, this is just so over the top and it would never happen. But again, suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sad to see Joyce heartbroken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That wasn't nice at all.
But on more than one front, not just with her love life, but she was really disappointed at Buffy.
Oh my God.
So disappointed. And all I can think was, oh, Buffy has to walk around school in those ugly jean overalls. I know.
And like one of the clasps doesn't even work, apparently.
But I had a pair of overalls just like that, except they were black. And they were like tapered at the bottom. So ugly.
Wow. They look comfortable for overalls.
Oh, yeah.
At least you didn't take a perfectly good pair of jeans and tear a hole in it, did you?
No.
Me.
Oh, I did.
Oh, boy. And then did you sew a perfectly good patch into it?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, but then after you cut the hole, you have to lovingly fray it, and then you wash it a few times to make it look...
That's right.
Embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Buffy really takes her home stress to work with her.
I love that.
To the point where Jaws is like, I hope there aren't any more for their sakes. So Giles is basically the equipment boy.
Yes.
He's holding the bag of weapons. Uh-huh. Oh, Giles.
But I did like that Giles and Jenny got some time together.
Let me tell you, Jenny Calendar is the awesomest. Smart, gorgeous, in tune with her emotions. I wonder if she'll go to Comic-Con with me. Like, just the best. The best. She's the best. I love Jenny Calendar.
So you guys like Jenny?
I really like Jenny.
You like totally like Jenny?
I like her.
You like her?
I like her. I consulted my little paper little magic thing.
Did your magic 8-ball say?
No, those are illegal in Canada.
Oh. So, does anyone watch Dexter?
Yes.
Season 4.
I do not.
Oh, okay. Well,
but go ahead. I really couldn't care less if I get spoiled on Dexter.
This episode reminded me of
a spoiler alert. If you watch Dexter and you don't want to be spoiled, wait until I tell you that you can come back. Wait, that doesn't work. I'll probably tell you when we can actually. Yeah,
not,
you know what?
I'll
be editing.
I'm not
going to
reveal anything. So I'm just saying that this episode reminded me of the Trinity Killer in season 4. Everything about it, like the basement and everything.
Oh, okay.
Because when they went down to the basement, I was like, Trinity Killer, anybody? But anyways, that's all. I don't know what to say. Okay. It was creepy. Just so creepy.
It reminded me of Blast from the Past.
I know exactly what you meant.
Hello.
Yes. Yeah.
Just crazy. But when Jenny shot Jaws in the ass.
In the tweed. No, it was in his side. It was his jacket.
I thought it was in his
bum. No, it's not in his bum. No, I think you're confusing that with Walking Dead.
I think so.
Hey, because this guy got... episode.
Pardon?
I didn't see this
spoiler
episode.
Alert. Oh,
spoiler alert. So, someone gets shot in the bum with an arrow.
Oh, awesome.
I won't tell you whom, and I won't tell you what color arrow. So Angel's still hurt from the epic cathedral battle?
Yeah, that was one of my points,
like,
too.
Because she's still playing, like, Night Nurse, you know?
Because I was wondering why he needed to be bandaged up, because isn't he like a self-healing vampire? But I guess because of...
Well, see, sometimes that's kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
Just ignore it.
Okay. It's kind of like sometimes when they want the vampire to heal quickly, mm-hmm. or Buffy to heal quickly, they do, and sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm. So when they want a lot of smooching going on, then
let me tell you, Cordy forever. And Xander are still smooching it up.
I love it.
Yeah, that was Kim's your theory that, or your expectation was that Cordy and Xander would have a relationship but keep it from everybody.
Oh yeah, keeping it from everybody is what makes it hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love that they're ashamed but they love it so much.
And the whole reading between the lines thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's in the next episode, so I'll be quiet now.
Spoiler alert.
What is it? Ted is not allowed to use scissors. Because when Buffy finds the picture of her mom and she opens up the back, he didn't bother to cut Buffy out. He just folded it.
He also has a very tidy workstation.
Very tidy workstation. He has issues with boundaries. Yes.
I'm a competitive person, but I'm nowhere near like Ted. That was just it was so creepy. Everything about him creeped me out. So was he pretending to be dead?
No, I think something actually. He actually says it. I had to shut down for a while.
Yeah, I think
before it's revealed that he was a robot. Or for those of you in the UK, a robot. So it was very much, I had to shut down for a while. So I think literally, you know, and there was that sound effect on his neck, right? and if you're a fan of Star Trek Next Generation, you know that Data's little off switch is, I think, behind his neck somewhere. So maybe that was done there, but.
But then you'd have to have someone turn him back on.
Yeah, maybe when they were checking him or something, they accidentally hit the on switch.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, an on switch.
Buffy between the lines to consider and then reject.
Maybe somebody hit the button and he had to shut down and restart.
Maybe. But maybe. Seriously, how shocked was I when he was dead?
I was super shocked.
I was like, wait a second. This is like, are we even halfway through the episode and he's dead? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? And
okay, what was your reaction? Okay, mm-hmm. Did you guys... Sorry. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What was your reaction to whenever, you know, oh my God,
mine was, robot. Holy shit, Ted is dead.
No, uh-huh, whenever you find out he's a robot.
Oh.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that explains it.
I wrote, John Ritter is a robot. Do we care?
Oh, well, I had a robot makeup ain't half bad, better than the cyber woman.
Yeah.
From Torchwood?
Yeah.
From Torchwood, yes.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
There's a cyber woman in Torchwood and Gabby hates
her. Hates it. Yes, I do.
Well, I'm not too crazy about the Cybermen in general anyway. Really?
Come on, it's a kid show.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it,
you will be deleted.
Something I noticed in this episode that I wasn't expecting, really, although I wasn't expecting most of what happened in this episode, so I was maybe in that mood, mm-hmm. of being caught off guard, but I was not expecting how severely upset Buffy was about not just the fact that she killed a guy, but the fact that she herself says, you know, I'm the Slayer. You know, like, this isn't, you know, that she basically was very upset that she essentially abused her power.
Yeah. I think this is something that will be addressed later also. Yeah.
You know, it's like the whole thing. Like, if you're a black belt in karate,
mm-hmm.
right, and there's a fight, someone attacks you, it's kind of a built-in responsibility to not kill them.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're a police officer. It's kind of like being a police officer.
Yes.
Don't
say it. We're going to have to pay royalties if we say it. So don't say it. It's not like her uncle was killed by a professional wrestler, so we're not going to say it.
Yeah.
Don't say it wrong like I did in the second episode.
Is that why you stopped listening to us?
No, I honestly can't listen to myself. It drives me nuts.
Any other points from anyone?
Willow said a couple of interesting things, or some things were said towards the end, and here I am fixating on her again. But they mentioned that she kept some of Ted's parts because she's curious or whatever. I'm like, is that gonna come back and haunt us at some point? That she kept like creepy, scary robot parts.
Just really curious at what parts she kept. Because you figure Joyce and Ted are grown adults. So was Joyce getting really close to a guy that she had never? Morgan, can you cover your ears for me?
Earmuffs.
But like Joyce and Ted are grown adults. You would assume that they would have, you know. So I'm just curious why. Why wouldn't she notice he was a robot then?
I don't know.
Anyway.
And then my other thing was, too, that Buffy makes the comment that Willow should use her powers for good instead of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made a note of that, too.
That was weird.
That was weird. Use her power. So
foreshadowing.
Because people keep saying there's foreshadowing. There was always a plan, blah, blah, blah. Use her powers for good instead of evil. I thought she was good, but who knows? Saying.
Seriously, if they turn Willow evil, I'm going to be very upset.
I don't think
Willow has the ability to be with her wearing Birkenstocks and not shaving, but evil? I don't know.
What were you saying, Gabby? About Willow not having the ability to what?
Oh, no, no. Sorry, that was me. I said I don't think she has the ability to be evil.
And I made the comment that Buffy makes the comment that Willow should use her powers for good instead of evil. And that just seemed kind of strange and out of place, and it just made my ears perk up. And I'm like, wait a minute, what do you mean?
Well, yeah, what powers? Willow? I don't remember this.
It was at the very end.
Okay.
Yeah. I think
it just reinforces your witch theory.
I'm on other points.
I don't think any of the Scoobies have the ability to be evil unless they're like momentarily possessed for a Monster of the Week episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they'll turn evil and stay evil. That's my theory.
Uh-oh.
Theory? I have a theory.
Anyone else with points, or do we want to move on to something else?
What's there to move on to?
Well, we could rate the episode.
We also have some bra watch to say.
Oh, bra watch.
Let's get into bra watch.
You guys actually do this?
What do you mean?
Like, you guys actually, like, search for bra straps.
I think one of us does.
Yes.
And I am thankful she does, because I always forget. I keep meaning to, and then, for some reason, I never look at the straps. But anyway.
Well, the telltale sign, if there is a tank top.
Yes.
So you always know that there's going to be an ill-fitting tank top. And if it's Buffy, it's 9 times out of 10 a black bra.
Well, she's classy.
So we got a couple of black bras. First one, black bra, black tank top combo. And then we have a black bra, cheetah print tank top.
Yes. Now, cheetah or leopard?
I don't know. Okay. I guess leopard.
Were the spots were the spots black, or were they kind of hollow with dark circles in them?
I thought that they were maybe black with like white circle around them.
I'd say cheetah.
Oh, see, a jungle cat.
Yes. Well,
cheetahs
are more the savannah.
Sorry. Ugh.
But jungle cats are tigers and panthers.
I've been watching The Hangover too much, sorry. And that was the line. Oh my god. Edit me out. Anyway. That's really it. This wasn't a very bra strap heavy episode, unless someone's foul playing along, and they may have picked something up. Okay. That's all I got.
I think next week's going to be chock full of Bra Watch.
I think you're right. My Wonder Bra senses tell me that next week is going to be awesome.
That's just terrible. All right. Shall we rate?
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
I will give Ted 7 out of 10 ecstasy lace chocolate chip cookies.
Okay, what about you, Kim?
Well, since John Ritter was in it, it gets a plus one. And since the makeup at the end was good, I'll give another plus one. So I'll give this 2 little ladies out of 10.
Oh. Oh. Wow. 2 out of 10.
Yeah. I really did not like this episode.
You really don't take that kind of malarkey, do you?
Not slightly.
She's not wired that way.
If iRobot Eugene, if I could regrade that, I'll give that a 1 out of 10. Mm. And this would be 2.
Which we've, I think I tweeted you and someone else on our Facebook group said this could be dubbed iRobot You Joyce.
Yes.
Okay, what about you, Gabby?
I had to give it a minus 1 because Buffy didn't know who Captain and Tennille was. So I give this a 7 out of 10 mini pizzas.
See, this whole stealing quotes thing is going to be replaced eventually by stealing clever rating systems.
Oh, no!
No, you didn't steal my rating system. Okay. I seriously really, really like this episode. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10. Beg to differs. Mm. I really, really liked it. I thought it was intense. It kept me on my toes. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. What's going on? Oh, my God. Ah! Morgan?
I'm really on the fence with this one. I mean, I used to hate this episode, but you guys have really, you know, brought me over. So I give it a 4.5 dead wives out of.
Nice. That was the 0.5, the left side or the right side of one of the wives?
The left side.
All right. Do we have any quotes?
Mom?
Willow, you're the best human ever. I adore you. Well, that's the cookies talking, but you rock.
Oh, dang. That was...
Sorry.
I can't read mine. Let's see if I can get through without laughing like I did when I watched the episode. Okay. So, from now on, you do what I say, when I say, or I show this to your mother, and you'll be and you'll be spending your best dating years behind the walls of a mental institution.
Oh, I remember when my dad told me that.
Yeah. But it's like he really knew how to get to her. Mm-hmm. Your best dating years! Oh, no!
I have a lot that I really enjoyed, but I'm going to go with this one because it's the one I don't think I'll ever forget this line. You make me feel bad that I don't feel better. I don't want that responsibility. Huh? Jenny.
Oh.
Like, that was a really awesome scene. You know, like, Giles, I know you feel guilty, but man, I gotta, you know, like, you make me feel bad that I don't feel better. And I don't want that responsibility. It's like just having him around, you know, was making her feel even worse because it's like she's expected to start feeling better because he feels bad. And, you know, you work that out by shooting him with an arrow.
Well, if you think about it, Okay, let's see. Favorite quotes. Well, I didn't write anything down. You have parental issues. You have parental issues. That's exactly what Freud would have said, except he wouldn't have done the little dance.
I love that one, too. Any honorable mentions or?
Oh, wait a minute.
I sometimes like things that are no good for me.
Yeah, I have that one down.
Oh.
Or, hee hee, it's a clean clown. I have my own fun.
That was cute.
Can I just say, this is the finest pizza ever on God's green earth. What's your secret? This pizza sounded delicious. I'm sorry.
I did.
I'm not wired that way. Beg to differ, little lady. Although the one that made me laugh out loud was, back to the salt mines.
Oh, it's the Uber boss.
I kind of chuckled when Buffy said, I don't bruise easily. When she was being interrogated.
Yeah, but her emotions took a bruising.
Yeah. She was wearing those overalls. I'm kidding. Sorry. I can't help myself. All right. I'm a jerk.
Willow, her studies, Bookcracker Buffy. It's kind of her nickname. Seriously, Bookcracker Buffy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Willow.
So, Steph, do we have homework for next week?
Next week is bad eggs.
Nice. Wow. Can't wait.
Delicious.
Listeners, dear listeners, come join the fun at the Facebook group. Lots of people are joining up. Lots of discussions going on.
Yeah, we have 57 members.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you for, somehow inviting your grandparents to join, even though they're confused and not really sure what we're talking about. But we really appreciate having those numbers in the group. So join up. Keep it spoiler free. If you're not sure if something is spoiler free, don't post it. Because we're tempted to click. Or at least tell us that it's spoilery. Tell us it's spoilery right in the title of the thing, because you know what? We shouldn't keep all of that just for you guys. So I want to bring something up. We talk about, sending us email and sending us tweets and going to potentialcast.com and now joining the Facebook group. But I did want to read a specific email we got from someone named Umar Suarez. And this particular individual... has taken to approaching our podcast in a similar way that we approach Buffy. So here we go. Greetings, oh great and mighty Gax. I'm not sure when you guys are recording, and I hope you're separating the two-part What's My Line. This is one of those episodes that we Buffy fans love to point out as one of the really good ones. Lots of things go on and lots of changes come within the story. Without spoiling, here are my notes on the first part. Points of illumination. Debase the beef. Canoe are the most powerful words in every evil book ever written by people who write evil books. This is a little known fact brought to us by people who had to be killed because they knew this information, and vampires who wear glasses. Why do vampires have to wear glasses? Don't they see and hear better when vamped out? What happens? Do the eyes get even more nearsighted? Willow and Oz finally meet. Oz gets to know who that girl is. And yes, Oz is still not short. Everyone else is just too darn tall. Did anyone but me hear the name Dalak and think of that song the machine sang when Shrek and the donkey got to the gate? About Kendra the Vampire Slayer. One, where did she learn her fake Jamaican accent from? Did she take the Mistress Cleo class on fake Caribbean accents? Number two, Kendra? Really, Joss? Kendra? Did you have to name the Black Vampire Slayer after Barbie Black Double? Not for nothing, but Kendra is not a Jamaican name. Kendra is like Leroy or Washington. Names that white writers give their black characters. How exactly are worms threatening? How do worms kill people? Does this change the meaning of worm food, or does it give the saying an actual meaning? I mean, how tough can worms possibly be? The only things worms can be used as a weapon against is fish and 8-year-old sisters. Frog fear? The number one cause of teen geekiness in 1998 high schools across California. In New York, it was pigeon fear. And this is, in fact, the episode where the phrase Scooby Gang is coined. scene where Xander and Cordelia go to Buffy's house. Order of Tanaka sounds like something you call the Chinese restaurant to deliver. I'll have a chicken fried rice and one order of Tanaka, please. Extra duck sauce. My favorite line, okay, then a regular kid and her cradle-robbing creature of the night boyfriend. That's my potential cast take on What's My Line Part 1. Can't wait to hear your impressions on it. Peace, Duxifer, a.k.a. Umar. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Umar, for your feedback. Listeners, feel free to send us an email with a gold like this. Anything you have to say about the show or about our episodes or anything you want, just send it in, send it in, send it in. You don't have an email machine, but you have a Facebookifier. You can go into your Facebookifier and look us up. Potential Cast has a group there. You can join us. You can request to be a member. We'll approve you. Well, actually, I say we, but Robin seems to be the quickest on the trigger finger. And he'll approve you. And totally awesome fun. There are lots of different topics, lots of really cool things to talk about. I think that's it. What's the email address again, Kim?
Potentialcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Morgan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem.
And remember to thank your mother for us for letting you participate.
Okay.
All right.
I was on my best behavior. I didn't swear once.
Woo! I think I said Trump a couple times.
Yes, you did. All right.
I think Morgan will survive.
I'm sorry.
Cuss word.
I could hear Kimberly fighting a couple of words.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
machines dehumanize.
We should be so, okay.
Kim, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of what happened to me today.
What happened to you today?
I showed up into my study that I haven't really been in for a couple of days, and there's a puddle of cat pee and a cat and a dropped ceiling tile. End of story. Yes, I'm sitting in a room that I had to clean the cat pee off the floor, and I have nice aromatic candle lit next to me. So
you can smell the aromatic candle and cat pee.
Well, actually, I have this really good product. It's actually biodegradable, and you spray it on any, like, animal residue, and it kills the odor.
Ooh, what is it? What's it called?
Hold on. Let me go grab the bottle. Hold on.
It's probably only available in Canada. You probably can't get it in the United
Canada,
States.
Canada, the final frontier.
Okay, so it's called Nature Clean All Natural Pet Stain and Odor Remover. You can tell it's Canadian because odor is written with a U.
Oh, God.
It also has a French translation.
I think you can only get that in Canada.
Remove stains and odors instantly and harmlessly. Our non-toxic enzyme and solvent-free formula is safe for both pets and children. It will not leave a toxic solvent residue or dust after drying for use on rugs, carpets, upholstered furniture, pet beds, etc. Removes proteins and non-protein stains such as urine, blood, vomit, feces, hairballs, mud, dirt, and grass. Also, coffee, tea, red wine, cola, fruit juice, etc. May even remove stubborn older stains. Deodorizes, sanitizes, and discourages repeat accidents.
Awesome. Thank you.
Wow. Not tested on animals. Well, that sucks. It's made by Frank T. Ross and Sons Limited, 6550 Lawrence Avenue, East Toronto. So, Kim, if you just want to drive over, pick one up and just ship it over to Gabby.
That is going to be my secret Santa gift this year.
Secret Santa.
Knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
We're a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that life is a frolic and laughter is calling for you. At our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's company too. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's company too. Knock on our door.
Knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and
dance on the floor.
Let him dance on the floor.
Take a step that is new.
Take a step that is new.
For a lovable space that needs your face. Three's company too. You'll see that life is a frolic and laughter is calling for you. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's company too. Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous.
Three's company too.